Alaska state troopers say a 33-year-old man has died in Nanilchik after his dirt bike collided head-on with a truck. Troopers say Lewis Gerald of Nanilchik was riding the motorcycle north on Easy Street Friday night when the bike crossed onto the oncoming lane and struck a southbound pickup driven by 17-year-old Graydon Campbell of Nanilchik. Troopers say Gerald was wearing a helmet and Campbell was not hurt. Anchorage police have identified a man found dead last month near an Anchorage homeless camp. The body of 54-year-old Randall McCarty was discovered in a wooded area near the Seward Highway. Anchorage police spokeswoman Anita Shell says detectives do not suspect foul play in that case. As much as 2 years in prison for a former Juneau police officer initially accused of sexual abuse of a minor, prosecutors dropped the three felony abuse charges on Friday, just before Brian Irvin's jury trial was to start today. But the 38-year-old former downtown officer pled no contest to a new charge of interfering with a witness. Irvin did not say anything aside from answering routine questions from the judge. His attorney, Luis Menendez, made a short statement on his behalf.
Again, it ends the state's relationship with Mr. Irvin as to, with the state of Alaska, as to any charged or uncharged crimes of sexual misconduct or any other crime involving DE. Mr. Irvin wanted me to say that so it's clear on the record that he understands this ends his relationship with the state and the allegations that involve DE. He stands by the statement that, in fact, he specifically and emphatically denies the allegations of DE.
The accuser was present in the courtroom, but she declined to make any comment. Irvin's prison term for felony interference with a witness may be well above the presumptive minimum of a year because the crime occurred while he was out on release. Menendez declined to comment further after Friday's short hearing presided over by Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens of Ketchikan. District Attorney Dave Brower also declined to comment or explain what happened with the state's case until Irvin is sentenced in November. After the charges were lodged in September, Irvin was reassigned from the Juneau Police Department to other positions with the city. He is to have no further contact with the accuser in that case. The planned jury trial for this week was expected to be one of the very last cases handled by Menendez as a private defense attorney. He had delayed his installation as Superior Court judge until the Irvin case was resolved. One of Menendez's colleagues will represent Irvin during the sentencing phase. A former congressional aide is spending 4.5 years behind bars for going to the World Series with a corporate official and lobbyist. Frazier Verusio was convicted in February of three felonies for taking the trip to the first game of the 2003 World Series in New York and failing to report it on his House financial disclosure form. He was policy director for the House Transportation Committee, headed at that time by Alaska Republican Representative Don Young. The trip was paid by United Rentals, a construction equipment rental company that wanted Verusio's help on an amendment and a highway bill. Verusio could have faced a longer sentence, but he begged the judge to show mercy. Authorities are accusing an Alaska Airlines ramp agent of stealing from suitcases at the Fairbanks Airport. 37-year-old Robert Norman Webb Jr. was charged July 26. The charges stem from a December 22 sting operation conducted by Fairbanks International Airport Police and Corporate Security. Investigators planted two bait suitcases with desirable electronics on a flight leaving Fairbanks and detained three ramp agents after the bags were loaded. They say Webb was found with an iPod from one of them, but he told police he saw it on the floor and picked it up for safekeeping. Police say a search of the agent's home turned up a switchblade matching the description of one reported missing from a checked bag. New research suggests the number of collisions between boats and whales in southeast Alaska is on the rise. A growing humpback population in the region might explain the increase. The collisions are dangerous not only for whales, but also can be a frightening experience for smaller boats plying the waters of the Panhandle. Esme Joyce has more on the story.
The 50-foot motor yacht Lorelei was moving at about 8 knots down the middle of Chatham Strait on June 28th when it stopped. Very suddenly.
Everything was thrown forward, all drawers forward-facing opened up, and we just came to a halt, seemingly within a boat length, and we just didn't know what to think. I immediately looked at the depth sounder, thinking we hit something like a reef or rock, but of course we were in the middle of Chatham Strait, and the depths were greater than 1,000 feet.
That was the Lorelei's owner, Victor Grabner. He rushed to the engine room to check for leaks. No visible damage. Up in the wheelhouse, his wife Diane searched for the cause of their abrupt stop. A humpback whale surfaced and flipped a bloody tail at the boat.
It never even occurred to us that a boat of our speed and our size would possibly run into a whale.
After reporting the collision to the Coast Guard, Grabner steered toward Petersburg to check the boat for unseen damage.
While we were in Petersburg, we talked to another boater who, even before we told him that we hit a whale, told us he hit a whale. And we said, wow, did you report it? And he said, no.
Grabner's call to the Coast Guard eventually put him in touch with Marine Mammal Stranding Coordinator Elyria Jensen at the National Marine Fisheries Service in Juneau. NMFS is responsible for tracking ship strikes. Jensen says that two whale strikes have been reported so far this year, both by small vessels like the Lorelei.
Those are the most common reports, and often they're self-reports of a skiff hitting a whale or just, you know, pleasure boater, recreational, cabin cruiser.
These strikes can be dangerous for small boats, according to National Park Service wildlife biologist Janet Nielsen.
In some cases, that can be a serious collision for the whale as well, but in many cases, it's more serious for the vessel. A whale can do a lot of damage to a smaller vessel, and it's really becoming a public safety issue where the operators of smaller vessels that are colliding with whales are in many cases getting injured by those collisions.
Nielsen says strikes often occur because humpback whales can't hear fast-moving vessels.
A lot of people are under the perception that humpback whales and other baleen whales can detect vessels on the water through echolocation or sonar, that they know that we're there. But baleen whales do not have the ability to echolocate like toothed whales, and so they're often just relying passively on hearing vessels, and they really might have, we think that they have probably a difficult time detecting fast-moving vessels because they just did not evolve in an environment with fast-moving underwater sound, so it's hard for them to locate a fast-moving vessel. So the best thing to do is slow down, keep a sharp lookout.
Nielsen and NMFS's Jensen are co-authoring a study on whale strikes in Alaska, along with another Park Service biologist and a researcher at the University of Alaska Southeast. The study shows that since 1978, 109 whale strikes have been reported, with more in recent years. However, Nielsen says that only a fraction of collisions are reported, which complicates the question of whether they're actually on the rise.
But we would expect to see an increase in the number of strikes because the humpback whale population, at least, is on the rise. It's estimated to be increasing about 5% per year in southeast Alaska. And so with more whales around, there's just more and more chances of them getting hit.
An estimated 3,000 to 5,000 humpback whales feed in southeast Alaskan waters during the summer months. Grabner, who hit the whale in Chatham Strait, says he keeps a closer eye on whales near his boat than he used to.
Saw one yesterday, and you know, it's kind of a little minor alarm aboard when we see one because we're now extra cautious, now having learned that, you know, you can run into them, or they run into you, depending. But anyway, there's risk of collision, and it kind of changed our attitude towards taking whale sighting much more seriously than we have in the past.
Law requires boaters travel at an undefined safe speed near humpbacks, but only Glacier Bay National Park has a speed limit of 13 knots. In Petersburg, I'm Esme Joyce.
And if you strike a whale, the National Marine Fisheries Service would like to know. They have a 24-hour hotline at 877-925-7773. An Alaska tour operator has been fined $1.5 million for allegedly failing to carry workers' compensation insurance, violating stop work orders, and misclassifying employees as independent contractors. Ultimate Tours LLC and Godwin Glacier Tours LLC can appeal the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board decision or ask that it reconsider. An attorney for the tour operator declined to comment on Friday.